All right, our subject today is women. We're talking about women. Hallelujah. Amen. Women, rise up. I mean, hey, women, aren't they amazing? How about it? How about the guys here? What do you think? Huh? Wow. If you have a marriage and you have found a good... Yeah, in the King James, it's not thing, but it's there in English. Found a good thing, but it's... You found something extraordinary. Wow, a woman. In the Bible, biblical view, the theme is three important women that we read regarding the birth of Christ. Now, the birth of Christ happens here. Before it happens, like in history, go back in time, and who is informed? Who is involved? Who knows what is really happening? Who gets the secret? Who is on the inside story? There's a story that's going to unfold. Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem. But before it happens, an angel in heaven, what was his name? Gabriel. Gabriel is, it says in the scripture, he stands in the presence of God. And we understood that Gabriel is a messenger and is sent to a priest. What was the priest's name? Zacharias. And what does Gabriel say to Zacharias? But your wife is going to have a child. And he counters... And basically, naturally, is saying, you know, I just can't believe that would happen. She is barren. We've had no children all of our married life, and she's beyond age. How did the angel respond to that? Like, duh. Like, what did the angel say? Like, in our language, Zachariah, you got to be kidding me. I am an angel. My name is Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've come here to tell you something. Cut the crap. Okay, excuse me for that use of that French word. No, that's not French. Excuse me, Pastor. No, I'm talking to you real, like in the level down here where you are living. No, I'm joking. It was a joke. Wait a minute, listen. I'm telling you that this man made a mistake by talking back this way when he should have known better and he should have understood that an angel from God is talking to him. And how should he respond? Zacharias should say to the angel, what? Please forgive me. It's hard for me to believe this, but I believe you and I respect you. If you've come from God, then let it be according to God and God's will, right? Or even better, he could have been like, been at the Greater Grace Church and spirit filled and said, yeah, absolutely, she will have a child. Amen. Let it be so. Okay. But she was at another Greater Grace Church. He was at another Greater Grace Church. No, I'm joking. No, like me. Like me. And like you. We might be so familiar even with our messages and what we say and what we believe, when it comes down to the real hour, the real time, what kind of fire do I have? What kind of spirit am I of? And I have to confess to you that at times I get, I can be just like this priest, Zacharias. And what did the angel say? Listen to this. He's saying, you know what he said to him? He said, because you didn't believe me, you're going to be dumb during the pregnancy, right? you're not going to speak. Because the way you speak is in unbelief, and God holds you accountable for that. Isn't that amazing? We'll read it in a minute. But I just want your attention. I don't want you to go fall asleep while I'm reading the scripture. I want you to be engaged in it. And I want you to understand that this is a beautiful thing that this angel Gabriel visits and tells them what God is going to do. At the beginning of our service, I asked you, what is God doing? And I mean it too. Have you seen something? Do you understand it? Are you on the inside? Are you learning? Are you growing in your faith? Is God helping you? Is God comforting you? Has God answered any prayer? Let me ask that question here in the auditorium. How many of you could say in the last year you have been healed by God in the past year? Just raise your hand. Way up high. Thank you, God. That's amazing. Praise God. That's amazing. How many of you had answers to prayer? Wow, of course. How about any prodigal son that came home or prodigal daughter that was far away? They came to the Lord, like God helped them and opened their eyes. And that, thank you for those hands. It's amazing. What is God doing? How about this week coming up? Maybe something to do with your job or your finances or something. I mean, good news or bad news, I want to be kind of, and this is my message, I want to be on the inside and know what is God saying. I don't expect him to send an angel to me, but I do expect him to send a brother or a sister or a Bible verse that is on fire, or the ministry of the Holy Spirit to me, and help me. Now, these three women are different, every one of them. Elizabeth is beyond the age of bearing children, but she's now going to have one. If she didn't have the Holy Spirit, what would happen to a woman in her heart and in her mind if she only lives on a natural plane or natural level, like we draw here, up on the refrigerator, remember? Up on the refrigerator. Turn to Proverbs 24 and verse 7, please. Okay, here we go. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. Another point. I am a fool. I know I am. I'm not kidding you. I am. But because of the new birth, the Holy Spirit has come into my heart, into my life, and now I'm like reaching for wisdom. It's not natural, but I get something, and I say me because you and I, we're all the same. We all are the same in this regard. We're very foolish as people. But because of our new birth, and I mean everyone in this room, and I mean everybody around the world, because of your new birth, we have been honored by God and incorporated into his kingdom, where we call him Father, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And he opens this book to us. And don't be a Christian who just has the book on the piano or in the bookshelf. But be a Christian that has the book in the heart. And it's not too high for me. This book is not too high for you and I. We can learn the pages, we can learn the stories and understand it. And it has an effect on us. I say the refrigerator, like I've said by illustration, when I was a little boy, my mom would put some cookies or candy up on the top of the refrigerator, and I would climb up to find out what was up there. And in a way, this is like life for us. You have to search. You and I seek. We are looking for something more than just the first floor. Now, this woman, Elizabeth, could have stayed at home and just said, my husband and I, we just can't have children. Not going to happen. I don't know why God has done this to me. The other ladies in the neighborhood are always gossiping about me and my family, and I don't like that, so I stopped talking to them, and I know who they are. And all of this is life on the first floor. Don't live like that. What's God doing? What's God saying? That live a godly life. Like, find something more. Be spirit-filled. A spirit-filled life. Second woman, Mary. What do you know about Mary? You can talk back to me. She was young, not married, right? She was not married. Officially not married. Engaged, this marriage had been decided, but there was no sex, there was no... She was a virgin. And now the angel, same angel, Gabriel, came to her 6 months later. And you know what the angel said? Your aunt, Elizabeth, is pregnant. And the angel told her that. And now for you, you will be pregnant also. And she has a different spirit and attitude when she's told that. She's like more innocent, more believing, like that. Like, yes, but I don't have any relations with any men. It's kind of like, how could that be? But she's believing. And the angel said, it will be. The shadow of the Almighty will come upon you, and that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Let it be unto me according to your word. Now listen. Again, go to the first level floor. What would a pregnant teenager say? What would a pregnant teenager say who's not married? What would a pregnant teenager say that wasn't looking for this? How low could the talk be? Like, how my community will not understand me. I'm not the cause of this. Many things could be said about this woman. But you have to go to another place in life. And realize that this is okay. This is okay. I don't have to explain it. I'm in another place. This is okay. I don't know exactly what is happening, but I am okay that God is with me. When God is with you and the peace of God is with you, let the people misunderstand me. That's okay, because I'm not living before them. I want to live in the secret place of the Most High with the Lord God Almighty, Psalm 91:1. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. Okay, this is what we're going to be saying in a minute. Third woman is Anna. Another marriage profile that's fascinating, because she was a widow for 84 years, and she was married for 7, and she must have been at the age of puberty or beyond to get married. So let's say she was 15 plus 7 is, 20, isn't that 15, what's that, 20, 22, and then 84 years as a widow. In other words, when she was 22, her husband died, and she didn't remarry, and she had no children, and she's like serving in the temple with prayers, And now for 84 years. So now she's 106 years old when she sees the Messiah in the temple as a baby. And she has the spiritual understanding. She has the mind to understand. Those are the three stories of these women, generally speaking. And the message is how important women are in the unfolding plan of God. There are 2 points. First one is Genesis 1:26. Turn there, please. Made in the image of God. And God said, let us make man in our image. Tselem is the word. It can be translated likeness as well. And he's saying man. Man, when he says man, he means both. He means humankind. Humanity is made in my image, right? Or likeness. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. The first thing that God says about women is that they are like him. Men and women. Man was made first, and then the woman, and we are like God. That's fantastic. I believe it. When you look at all the animals and you just see how limited they are, like they don't give mercy. Wild animals don't give mercy. Wild animals just think food and navigation. But man is so marvelous. We are fascinated with each other. When you look into the face and the heart of another person, you actually see God. You actually see God must be like that mother that loves her child, or father that is respecting his son, or husband and wife that are interacting with each other. Because we also have a word here for the woman being the helpmate. This is chapter 2 in verse 18. God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I don't know if you know that. Probably you do. I could say hearty amen to that. I don't do go so good when solitude is important for us. I can be alone to rest, to be replenished in my meditation. I love that, meditating on the word. But I don't do so well when I'm just left to myself. If I'm left to myself without God, it's a disaster. But when God is with me, it's godly and holy solitude. And even more, if his thoughts are with me, they are very edifying to me. But I have a tendency or desire to go horizontal with those thoughts. I want to share them with somebody. And that this is the meaning of marriage. Marriage is sharing life with another person, and how beautiful that is when it is right, and how painful it is when it is not right, and how hurtful it can be. But even without marriage, in the body of Christ, we call each other sister and brother. I love those words. My sister, not my wife, not my fiance, not my girlfriend, but my sister. We are a family. And the women here should feel safe and secure because the men are godly. And the men should feel safe and secure in their relationships because the women are godly. And you see now in our culture, the press is talking and the ladies that have been harassed at work are coming out of the closet and talking about inappropriate behavior at work. And I do think that is a good thing in the case where it has happened, because nobody should be taken advantage of or abused or threatened or manipulated. On the other hand, there could be something there that could have a backlash, that when it is done in the right way, that's great, but there's like two parties. One is a man, another is a woman, and if she is inappropriate, it could draw him into inappropriate behavior. If she is appropriately behaving professionally and he is inappropriate, he could be drawing her into inappropriate behavior. And as a godly woman, one word of advice is know your parameters at work and say to them directly, your boss or superintendent or whoever is fooling around, you say, I'd appreciate it if we wouldn't talk in those terms. Or a man could say to the woman at work, you know, oh, your dress is very nice, or and it's not right. He shouldn't. And you say, as a woman, you say back to him, thank you, but please keep your, please don't say anything about my appearance. I appreciate that. Thank you. She's sending a message. She's sending a message. I have a professional relationship in a professional environment. What is needed is the Holy Spirit in my life as a man in a working place, the Holy Spirit to give me a sense of propriety and respect for my colleagues in the working place and my sisters and anyone else there that is with me in my life. They are my sisters, not my wife. Okay? Same principle. First floor, and then there's something more. That's what we're looking for. Right? I go to work, and I'm a godly woman, and I'm there in that working place, and I want to send the right signals and have that. And I want to be, and if the man that I'm working with is like demanding of me something that is not right or appropriate for my future in the working place or my promotion or whatever, he can't, my godly life is not for sale. I don't behave like that, and I have nothing to do with it. Thank you very much. I want to be a professional person working in the right way. Can you do that? I don't know. I can say it. I don't know. Can I do this? I have to. I want to. God will give me the grace for it. And the funny thing is, in our culture, because of our movies and TV programs and everything, they talk garbage and then they expect you to behave at work. You talk garbage, garbage in, garbage comes out. But if you have something that these three women had something going on, like Elizabeth had something from the Holy Spirit happening and she prophesied and she's on the inside of God's work. And Mary had something happening into her, and she understood. And say, Mary, come on, we got to have a talk. And like Mary just saying, I can't talk about it. I got something going on that's from God. And wisdom is too high for a fool. You get it? Not to say we go around talking, telling people they're fools. Not, I don't mean that. But I'm just understanding that Our world will not understand our values. Our culture will not understand what we are talking about. How happy I am being a godly person. Our world will make joy. They will make these dirty jokes and make fun and so on and talk down. And they may talk down about women. I'm not part of that. I don't think like that. I mean, you understand what I mean. I'm preaching. I'm saying us. No, I'm not. You understand me. Okay. The woman is a helpmate. Look at verse 18, Genesis 2, verse 18. And it says here, the Lord God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And this word is this word, a kenegdo. He means that she will be suitable for the man. It's literally translated from the Hebrew word kenegdo, means like, opposite him, like a mirror image. Like if you studied organic chemistry, remember those molecules and then the mirror image? Just like, you know, it's like just the same, but it's the opposite. And a man, he looks at a woman, he actually sees himself, but at the same time, they're different, and she's a mirror image of him. And that's beautiful. And she helps. Now, the word helping there is used in the Old Testament for God helping people, helping Israel. It's a word for God helping. Here, the woman is helping man, and other places the word is used in the Old Testament, Psalms, Isaiah, the Pentateuch, God helping people. I would say my wife has been a great helpmate to me, helped me immeasurably in many ways, on a spiritual level, on a psychological, emotional, intellectual, social level, helped me immensely. I'm very thankful for it. But in our three women, we find one of them, her husband dies when she's 21. I'm making that number up, but it's from the 7 years of her virginity. He dies. 84 years without a husband. 84 years, no children. 84 years, maybe being talked about. 84 years being somehow a little different, 84 years and that being somehow shameful, but not to her. Because it says that she was in the temple day and night fasting and praying and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Well, you might say, I could never be fasting and praying for 84 years. And my answer to you is, yeah, you don't know what it is that you could do in your life by the grace of God. You could be a single woman, and it's a joy. And you say, this is my place in life. I mean, many times single women have a problem of wondering if they will ever marry. And one of our people said, God told them, that's none of your business. That's my business. I could do this for you. And that was a pretty sharp word. They said this. I think you're following my point. Oh, wait a minute. I could live here in a world, you know, of a lot of questions, a lot of troubles and ideas about my self-image or my world and all the talking and the social media and everything and my whole thing. Or I could believe that God is in my life and God is doing something, and he will lead me and guide me in my life. And I have found what it means to be a helpmate, a helper, a mirror image. I have found what it means to be a reflection or an expression of God in this world. Yeah, that's it. Okay, turn now to Luke 1, and we'll read the scripture and finish up here. Luke chapter 1. Verse 11. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer he is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name John. You shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his father's womb. From his mother's womb. Wow. Man. Whoa. I don't think that's been said before. Even from his mother's womb. Okay. Did we get that straight? Boy. Well, that was unique. Okay. Verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. This is John the Baptist, right? And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak unto you. Can you get it? And to show you these glad tidings. Do you need any more evidences? Okay, be quicker to hear me and agree. Behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So there's a message in there, isn't there? If I could be in prayer and God speak to my heart, and I have this, now I have a message, right? But if I'm filled with my own way, my excuses, my problems, then I don't have anything to say. Just more of the same old, same old. And to the ladies here, and I'm just wanting to edify every woman in this room and beyond, and just say, I am so thankful for the years of service in the body of Christ. The many women that have said, I'm going after God. Will you get married? I don't know. Will you have a child? I don't know about that. In these three profiles, you see how they have reason for a scandal or a reason for talking or gossiping or being discouraged or whatever it might be. But no, we expect something more in our life than just those things. And the behavior of a godly woman and the wisdom of a godly woman like Deborah, the wisdom of a godly woman like Sarah, like Abigail who counseled David, these women are of great value. And in our church life, there are folks, I have a little piece here. It says, many Christian women feel overlooked, slighted, and disempowered in the church, which is tragic, particularly when one realizes that God, Jesus Christ, was highly affirming of women. Christ, no... Every I mean, they were disciples that followed him. The men, and there were the women disciples, the Marys, at least four of them in our New Testament. The women that supported him in Luke 8, verse 2, supported him financially. The women that followed him around. The prostitutes that came and were born again and saved and loved him. The woman that wiped his feet with her hair and the tears. The woman that took the alabaster box of ointment. And here are the men, and here's the woman that gets it right. And the box of ointment, they say, was worth $30,000. Extremely valuable, like a whole salary for a year of work. And she poured it out on him and wasted it, you know, wasted it, right? It was for his burial. I have been in the ministry for decades and have seen God raise up women that have had a word of wisdom in season, an amazing spirit of love and an attitude of faith. We have seen it decade after decade. When I lived in Finland, we had a huge disproportionate number of women in our church. We had 30 men and 200 women. And if you were a single guy, you really enjoyed that. And actually, we were young, and the Finnish older folks wouldn't come to our church because we were so young, and we were also Americans. That wasn't the primary thing, but there were some elderly, but very few. Sometimes, there was a period where you had one married couple in a church of 200 people. So it was loaded with single people. But it doesn't matter. It didn't matter because when we are looking for what God is doing, you know, it's awesome. And God raised up women. We don't ordain women. In our ministry, we don't ordain women based on 1 Timothy chapter 2. But we empower them. We honor them. We listen to them. They are part of our organization. They are gifted. They help us in what we do. There are prayers. There are words of insight. And if you look at the text here regarding Anna, I think we'll just, the Mary portion is in 26, Luke 1, 26. And we'll just go to the portion about Anna in chapter 2 and verse 36. Verse chapter 2, 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess. What is a prophetess? Well, prophet is a man that speaks from the word of God, from the heart of God, the mind of God. Prophetess is a woman that speaks from the heart of God and the mind of God. This woman is right on. And through church history, John Knox had his wife and his mother-in-law was right on. John Knox's mother-in-law was a spiritual person he had fellowship with, and she gave him wisdom and guidance and insight. His mother-in-law. Martin Luther had Katie von Bora, a nun that he had. There were 12 nuns. It's an interesting story in a convent. And these ladies wanted to get out of the convent, these young women. They wanted to get out of the convent, and they wanted to get married and live like that. And he didn't, and the word got to him. So he had a businessman who was delivering herring fish to the convent. In pickled herring barrels. So the fish went in, and out in the wagon came in the barrels 12 women. And he had them come to his, at the university where he was. I believe it was there where he had them there, and he had them married off. There were two left over, and he started to think that maybe he could marry one of them. He married her, and she became, like, you know, just an amazing help to him. Wise and loving and faithful, and tell him. One time he fell into depression. He fell into depression. This is a funny story. Martin Luther fell into a depression. And one time, and Katie came into the room dressed in black, like she was a widow, like she was mourning the death of somebody. And he said, "What's going on? Who died?" She said, "God died." What was the message? Martin Luther, you are depressed. How? The reason you're depressed is because God has died. Isn't God God? And can't you rejoice because God has not died, but you're acting like God has died? Okay, you get the idea. Women, I love them in the Lord, amen? I love their portion. I love what they can do in a church. I love their fire, their passion. I love their humanity, their communication. I love what they can give. They are a blessing to us, and we recognize it. And this woman, Anna, in verse 36, she could speak the word. She was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. That's maybe hard to read, but she was, we just used the number like 15 years old when she got married, 7 years, and then she was a widow, verse 37, of 84 years, 80. That's 84 years as a widow. What would you do if you were a widow and it went on year after year, decade after decade? Well, I don't want you to ever get discouraged, because there is a way for all of us. There is an answer for us. There is a door. And when the door is shut, there's a window, right? Noah's Ark shut the door, but there is a window that goes up to heaven. There's a window. When God shuts the door, he opens the window. There is a way. It's too high for a fool. A fool be satisfied with foolishness. But not you and me, no. We got something going on. And then it says here, she did not leave the temple, meaning that's where she belonged. And that's how I feel about church life, by the way. This is my church. I am part of it. If I come in on a wheelchair one day, and maybe I can't talk or hear, or I have some disease or paralysis or disability, whatever it is, I know my place. You know, this I say by God's grace, none of us know. But I'm saying this is our family. I belong in God's house. This is his house. As long as the Word of God is here and the Holy Spirit and the love of the brethren, then we have a good place. And it says here, she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, when Jesus was there as an 8-day-old baby being circumcised, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. John Sabo said, maybe there were Jews in that hour, in that time, that knew Daniel's prophecy about the 69 weeks of years with the coming of Christ, or people anticipating the Messiah coming within some span, some room there. They could say, now he must be coming, the Messiah. And there were people there, and this woman could give a rap session. This woman could like speak, and she'd say, I saw him in the temple. I swear, I know God showed me this is the Messiah. I am sure of it. I know. Now listen to me. In the United States of America, we have a big population, 330 million people or something like that. And there are many believers, thank God. And then there are many that do not believe what we think about the coming of Christ. There are many that do not believe in this book as God's word. There are many that would make a mockery or a joke about it, what it is that we are thinking and believing. Let that be what it is. Wisdom is too high for a fool. They can't get it. But if he came the first time, he's coming again. If some people knew about it in the first time, it may be that some of us would have a sense of it now in this second when he's going to come. We should always be ready. Always be ready. Always be prepared. Always be ready. Always be looking for something above the scandalous stuff and have the dignity and sense of God's Holy Spirit conviction in your life and know who you are and what you are doing in this world. What our message is and what it is that we are doing here and how to think in the right way. Pastor Schiavelli had a wrap yesterday at our outreach meeting. And by the way, you are so welcome on a Saturday morning and at lunchtime. Even come in at lunchtime and he does a wrap session Saturday at noon. And he talked about watching and discerning and recognizing, and we were saying, and I want to finish up, but we are saying, we put on latex gloves. We have the soap at the hospital, you know, the soap. Go like this, make sure there's no bacteria. We use the gloves, right? We put it on and we're very careful. And then we put in all the garbage. That whatever people say, any movie I watch, whatever I hear, whatever goes, I read anything, I believe, I talk to anyone, I'm believing all kinds of, but I got the latex gloves to make sure I don't have any bacteria on my hands. That's an anomaly there. I'm so concerned about bacteria when I'm being poisoned in my soul. What, if my body is one thing, okay, body, but my soul, who are my best friends? What kind of spirit do I have? Who do I hang out with? What kind of conversation do I have? What do I do when I have free time? How do I spend my free time? What do I think about the important things in life? Where am I going in my heart? What is important to me? What is the plan of God for my life? And one day we will be out of our body and we will see more clearly. But pay attention. Pay attention. I need a bath, you know. What, some kind of a bath. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I need a, you know, you know, some laser thing or, you know, radon or some, I don't know, some, yeah, superhero, yeah, wow. You know, I don't care about the latex gloves as much as I care about my soul. And that's what I was saying today. Every one of these three women could have a story on level one, but every one of them were part of something a lot bigger. And no matter what you complain about, learn to spin it the other way. Learn to be thankful. So when you want to criticize, learn how to spin it the other way and say, wait a minute, God is with me. Wisdom is too high for a fool. But for us that are born again, wisdom is like what we're looking for. And we feel real at home with it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, at the working place, the women that are godly, they'll be able to give a shout out and communicate with conviction and send a message. The men doing the same, and we can be healing because it is sad when people live only in their lust and what the culture is saying. But we have God speaking to us, and we've learned a new way, and help us in it. Every woman in this congregation, we are thankful. Every woman made in God's image, every woman given gifts that we need and are important in this great work. Father, bless us in our meditation today. Bring us back tonight with interest in these things as we go on in speaking about it, as you would give us words for it, in Jesus' name. And then anyone here who is not a believer, come to Christ today. Come to Christ as you are. Come to Jesus, please, and say to Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. Save me. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me. Jesus, thank you. I believe in you. Say it by faith, please. By faith. Anyone raise your hand here in the auditorium? Anyone saying the prayer? Anyone at all? Anyone saying the prayer? Thank God for the people that are so walking in the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then as we close our service, I'd like the pastors just to come down front here and just stand down along the front here. Because as we close, I want to make a plea to anyone here. You may look up. Amen to the prayer. If the pastors could come right now, just come down front, just stand right down in the front here. Because sometimes I feel people come to our church and they have I have something to share, or a prayer request, or they have a burden in their heart, and I want to give the church an opportunity to come forward and say to a pastor, pray for me, pastor, I have a need. Pray for me, I got a bad report from the doctor. Pray for me, pastor, I'm looking for an answer in prayer. Pray for me. You can share it or keep it to yourself, but you're free to do that. And before we close our service, so would you stand? Are we going to sing, pastor? No song. Okay. Would you stand with me, please? Would you take a moment if you want to come forward? We'll just wait here for a moment. Please come forward. If you want to have a prayer or talk to one of these pastors, please come forward. Feel free. Yes, feel free to come forward. Yes. God bless you. Yes, Lord, we pray you would hear these prayers, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, and believe you. We have heard of cancers being healed. We have heard of answers to prayers. As we go from this place, we believe you, Father. Give us the wisdom and understanding in our lives and in our hearts. We pray, yes, Lord, and hear our prayer and do way beyond what we could ask or think. Yes, Lord, our families. Yes, Lord, our families being one. Yes, Jesus. Maybe we don't have because we don't ask. But we're asking, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God, for answers. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Real answers, God. Real answers, God. In a week, in a day, in a month, in a year. Real answers, Lord. Teach us prayer, God. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you for these three women we read about today. And dismiss us now and bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.